Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, Armin Sarukian against Mateus Gamrot. This is going to be a hell of a fight. Both of these guys are supremely skilled. I mean, we're looking at the future of the lightweight division here. Sarukian came into the UFC, made his debut in the UFC against Islam Makhachev. It was a fantastic fight, but literally Makhachev was just a fraction better than him. But it was a very competitive fight. Sarukian's a real talented wrestler. He's got power in his hands. He's got subs. You know, he's a good all-rounder. Gamrot, on the other side, was lethal when he came over to the UFC. He made his debut on Fight Island against Garam Kutateladze, who's also incredibly good as well. And that was another fight that's worth revisiting. I mean, you can go back and watch these guys' back catalogues and have yourself a good old time. Both of them are really good. Mateus Gamrot came into the UFC as a very polished, well-rounded mixed martial artist. Quick tell of the tape. So Sarukian is 18-2. Gamrot is 20-1 with one no contest. That one being the decision loss to Kutateladze, which was a very, very close fight. 3-inch height advantage for Gamrot, 2-inch reach advantage for Sarukian. Very similar with their striking stats, similar output, similar accuracy, similar defense. When it comes to the wrestling, Sarukian has got fantastic wrestling, but then so has Gamrot, and he's also got 100% takedown defense. More submissions on Gamrot's side as well, more variety of submissions. He's ferocious at attacking ankles and all kinds of stuff. You'll see that in his takedowns. Generally, just a really good all-round fight. You know, both of them have a lot to offer when it comes to the striking range. And I'm really genuinely hoping we see some grappling in this one because they're both just so skilled. I feel like Gamrot is going to have more options to threaten Sarukian with if it does hit the floor or if Sarukian decides to grapple. I wouldn't be surprised if Gamrot decides he wants to shoot a low single and get the fight to the floor. In the striking ranges, Gamrot's probably got a more diverse skill set. He's got a few more tools, chains things together a little bit better. But Sarukian's got good power. Let's have a look at a couple of bits. So, Gamrot's on a three-fight win streak. Three good performances against good fighters. The Ferreira one was a bit of an odd one. But Holzman and Jeremy Stephens, good fights, good wins, and you know showed diversity in all of the fights. So here against Holzman, obviously you know a powerful individual looking to stuff takedowns. You can see by the way that he's standing squat that he's ready for Gamrot to level change. Holzman wants to keep this one in the striking range, and he knows that Gamrot wants to get a level change here. Something that we don't see very often, and when we do, it's usually from a very high-level wrestler, someone like Cejudo. We don't see very, very low single-leg attacks, but we'll see it a lot from Gamrot, all the way through his fights, because he likes to grab a low single and then either fall to his back to chase the ankle lock or run his opponent to the floor and continue chasing the ankle lock. The other benefit is that he avoids a lot of things that are coming his way when they're trying to defend takedowns with strikes like uppercuts and knees, which you'll see in a minute. I've got another good clip for you to see. But you'll see here, so he's going to throw a kick, and then he's going to level change. But watch how deep he goes on this level change. Watch how low he is. Like, he's going low leg. Now, most of the time when people are attacking a single leg, they're gripping around this part. They're gripping around the thigh, the knee. Gamrot's going even lower. And what this does is it usually forces his opponent to turn one way or the other to bail out. And he wraps that leg and chases it, keeps a hold of it at the ankle. But often when people start to run and turn, they either give their back or they fall to the floor. Or there's a few good reasons why he uses this attack. And as you can see here against Holzman, he clamps onto that, which, as you can see with Holzman, it turns and forces him to face away. And then Gamrot chases him up and runs the pipe, turns it into a full takedown. It's almost like he prefers to grab a hold of an ankle and know that he's got something instead of going in for a regular single leg and having to deal with their initial defense. Because most people's defense to a normal single is much better than a low single like that. It's difficult to defend. You know, you have to have quick reflexes and quick feet to get out of the way of those. So that was, you know, really nice takedown. And you, there's another example of it. And this is a different takedown from a different angle. But you can see that Holzman's going to attack with this rear hand. He goes for an uppercut. And you've got to think. So if Gamrot's going for a regular takedown, if he's shooting a single, he's coming in to attack at this sort of level. So if you watch where this uppercut goes when he level changes, I mean, he's underneath that line, but the uppercut is filling that space where he may have been heading to if he was clamping onto that lead leg. I mean, it's just, I would just make the argument all day. If he was going for a regular single, that uppercut would have hit him. But he goes really low on the leg. And you can also see, and this is a reason why his opponents turn as well, is because at this point when he grabs around the leg, he's clamped on here, but he's still driving forward with his shoulder. And that's not nice on anybody's knee, and Jamie's knee in particular. You wouldn't like that, would you, Jamie? We'd have to pop that back into place for you. Like that is an immediate hyperextension on the knee, which is what causes people to turn. Because if they don't, then they're being driven down to the floor with their back of their knee first. Like you can see that hyperextension there forces Holzman to kind of fall forward. And as he falls forward, then you see Gamrot pick it up and shelve it. And this is why he's such a good leg attacker, because he's able to isolate them very quickly. He's also got that wedge over the other leg as well. So he's doing a very good job of controlling Holzman as he falls. Really nice work. But that wasn't what got the fight finished. It was his hands. I mean, again, he's very much a mixed martial artist. He's got skills. Steps in with a big 1-2 here. Catches him clean on the chin and puts him down. Yeah, here's a better angle. Watch this. Bang, right on the chin. So, you know, two-pronged attack. He can level change. He can throw power punches. He's got submissions. He's very much an all-rounder. Coming into this one against Sarukian, you've got to think that he's expecting Sarukian to try and control the range and the pace of the fight with wrestling. Because I feel like Gamrot might be able to eat him up a little bit from the outside, just be a bit more comfortable and a bit looser in his game, I would say. You know, switching from one stance to the next and peppering him with shots and then maybe even threatening with that low single. But when it hits the floor, Gamrot's got loads and loads of things to throw at him. But if he does get stuck on the floor, if he does get tangled up, you know, you can get buried under Armin Sarukian and the minutes can just slip away. And he only needs one good shot to really do a lot of damage. And because he's got such a confident and strong base in wrestling, he's able to stifle people's movement to a point when they start to kind of relax a little bit. You know, you think back to his fight against Joel Alvarez. Like, Alvarez was taken down and he was held down from guard and he couldn't do anything from that position. He couldn't scramble back to his feet. His attacks weren't working from his back and he was getting hit with big shots by Armin Sarukian. But he got to the point where he was just, you can see the kind of labored posture, and Sarukian lands this wicked elbow, which, I mean, it's a beautiful shot. But, you know, the whole process, I mean, and, you know, this is where his height is, it looks like a disadvantage to him until he closes distance and he's clamped onto someone, because then that compact muscle mass becomes really problematic for someone. And this, you know, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, Alvarez has got a good guard. He was always trying to throw things up, trying to isolate a shoulder there. Sarukian dropping his head through. You know, very aware in all of these grappling positions of what the options are. But then when it comes to offense, I mean, this elbow that he lands is super slick. And it's quite easy to miss it. You'll see it from this angle here. That's the elbow. And you can see how direct it comes. He's pushing down on the face of Alvarez. And then it's this elbow and it's coming over and straight down. And he's aiming for the nose. And the reason why this elbow is so difficult to block is because even if people have got their hands up, usually it goes straight through the center and cracks them right on the nose. Plus you're throwing it over, so you've got, it's almost like a bowling, like you're bowling a ball, like overhand bowl, like a cricket. You can generate a lot of power into it. Smashes him on the nose with that. And literally, I mean, you can see straight away, spot of blood on the canvas. And from this point onwards, I mean, this next clip is literally 15 seconds later. Oh, hang on a minute. Here's the slow-mo. There's the slow-mo of the elbow. And you can see it opens his nose up right on the bridge straight away. but lovely angle of it. Controlling the hands here. Opens him wide up for this elbow. Comes straight down the center. Hits him right in the bridge of the nose. And then as Alvarez drops back, you can already see the cut right on the bridge of his nose there. Like, it does a lot of damage with one shot. And this is what I'm saying. Like, if Gamrot finds himself on the floor, throwing up submissions, and Sarukin is just able to nullify and stifle and keep hitting him with shots, one of these might get through. And then this is what happens. I mean, this is literally 15 seconds after. It was one of the craziest amounts of blood from a single cut I've ever seen. And it was just pouring off his face. I mean, like, these are the kind of things that, you know, they get the referee a lot more involved in the fight, because this is the end of the fight. I mean, yeah, you know, Alvarez is not in a great position here, but if this amount of blood wasn't involved in the circumstance, the referee probably wouldn't have stopped it here. Like, it's a bad cut. There's a lot of blood. He's not really able to muster a great deal of offense, even though he was trying. And Armin Sarukian here looks like he's been trading grapes, making red wine. The amount of blood is crazy from one elbow. So anytime Gamrot's on the floor with him, anytime he's tangled up, you've got to think Sarukian's going to be trying to muscle himself to a top position and land these big shots, which means that Gamrot can't be hanging around too much in these bad positions where he can be exposed. And if at any point he is, he's got to immediately start attacking to make Sarukian defend instead of start thinking about his own attack. So with that in mind, Gamrot comes in against a very, very tough, strong, powerful Jeremy Stephens, and he's able to clamp onto this low single, and you can see him doing the same thing again as he did previously against Holzman. So he's going to shoot that really low single, opposite leg, so he can do both sides. Goes below the knee, drops right to his legs, and Jeremy Stephens sprawls out on it. But because he's got a catch, because he's got that little grip around the legs, he knows he's got that, and he can build up very, very well from this position. So what you'll see is he pulls that leg in. He's pulling this in here. And as he pulls it in, he's going to build himself back up to his feet. Lifts, stands up, and straight away you'll see Jeremy Stephens post on the back of the head. He'll turn his left knee down and he'll try and limp leg out. He'll try and drag his leg out. But look at that clamp that Gamrot's got on his foot. Chases him to the fence. Pulls him. And then drops onto him. Takes that top position. You know, it's same as always. If he's able to grab a hold of one of your feet, he's going to be able to get you to the floor somehow. The more you scramble, the more his opportunities open up to jump on your back or whatever. Very, very talented grappler. And what was nice about this is that as soon as Jeremy Stephens landed, he started to attack. So he clamped onto a Kimura on the far side. So currently the left arm of Mateus Gamrot is available for a Kimura. And you'll see Jeremy Stephens set it up. So now Gamrot's defending this. Jeremy Stephens is holding onto that Kimura because at any point, if there's any space, and you know, Jeremy Stephens is a lightweight, cut into featherweight, powerful individual, might be able to rip that arm out and roll him over and even reverse the position with it, if not get the submission. Gamrot's given it the respect it deserves. But what we're noticing here, just a little thing to point out, look at the position of his knee. So his knee is on one side and his foot is on the other. So although he's got this leg driving into his hip here, there's not really anything keeping him in this position. He can quite freely now start circling around this way and go towards the head of Jeremy Stephens. And effectively reverse the position, but put himself in a better one because he's on top. And that's what we see. So he's holding and defending for a moment, and then when he feels comfortable, he positions his lower body and runs around the head. See how he's blocking? He's got his hand on the ass here. He's blocking the ass. And he's running around the head, so now he can put his knees either side of Jeremy Stephens' head, and now he can reverse the Kimura attack. And now he's put the Kimura on Jeremy Stephens' left arm. And now Jeremy Stephens is very vulnerable. And what you're going to see here, you can see Stephens is on his side holding onto this arm. Because at the point when this grip breaks and this arm becomes separated, the Kimura position that Gamrot's got is going to take this hand and twist it that way, which is not good for your shoulder. You can ask any doctor, they will agree. It's not good for your shoulder. And and you'll see the way that Gamrot rips this out of position. Pulls with his whole body, yank and then twist. And you can see how Jeremy Stephens tries to run his hips towards where his hand is. Because, let's see. So if his hips stay there and this arm keeps coming around this side, if you want an example, go and watch Frank Mir against Nogueira. It gets to a point where it just snaps. Or Kazushi Sakuraba against Henzo Gracie, where it goes at the elbow. The elbow dislocates. This is a very strong position for Gamrot to have. So what we see in here is this arm's coming in and underneath, and he's gripping onto his own arm, which is here. And his own arm, he's gripping onto the wrist of Jeremy Stephens. So he's got two arms on one, and Stephens has now not got the grip to protect that arm. So it's the whole body of Gamrot twisting through that arm and trying to scratch the back of Jeremy Stephens' head with it, as you can see. And what we also can't see from this position, because Stephens has got his leg in the way, Gamrot's actually kneeling on his bicep there as well, just to make sure he's pinned into place. Like, his ability to reverse that position shows an awareness of grappling, of positioning, that was just far too quick for Jeremy Stephens. I'm not saying he's going to be able to catch Gamrot with these positions, but these are moments where he can throw something at his opponent in a scrambling exchange, clamp onto a Kimura, start to crank it to reverse positions, or tie him up so he doesn't get caught with those massive elbows. I mean, anything that you can do to keep Sarukian working in defense on the top or on the bottom is beneficial, because when those elbows start flying, you know, one or two, and people start getting stitches. And Gamrot is a very, very talented fighter, but everyone's vulnerable to get to those kind of elbows. The one other thing that Gamrot has to be aware of as well is, of course, you know, we can't underestimate Sarukian's power, because he is a stocky individual. His grappling power and strength has transferred very well to a dangerous striking game. And he's got very loose hips. You know, he throws a lot of kicks as well, but his left hook that he landed against Yagos was the thing I want to focus on here. The reason I like it is because it showed a little adaptation to a gap in the guard. Because he throws a high kick here, and then he just whistles past the chin of hang on a minute, where are we? Yeah, he's just kind of waiting. He keeps tempting. He's trying to get Yagos to throw so he can counter it. Here we go. So he throws the high kick. Yagos roughly blocks it, but then he just pings him with that left hand. And then they step across, and Yagos is going to throw the kick, and he's going to block it and then come back with the same hand again, catching with that same left hook. But this time, because Yagos has committed forward, he goes with that kick to the body, and Sarukian's just able to grab it just for a moment, slows him down, keeps him square. And as Yagos throws that right hand out, Sarukian comes over the top and cracks him. Not an ideal left hook in a lot of different ways. But these moments where they come into exchange, I feel like this is where Sarukian wins some of the power exchanges. I mean, that is a clean, powerful left hook. And it didn't take him much to put Yagos down and then follow up with a few strikes. And, you know, you get dropped by a good wrestler, they're going to be able to naturally position themselves to throw big strikes where you can't really get away. And if your head's full of water and you're taking shots still, or, you know, one of those elbows comes into play, or your natural instinct is to quick roll for an ankle and put myself in a bad position where I'm going to take more shots. You know, there are lots of different ways for this fight to go. I feel like Sarukian's wrestling is a big component to any outcome in this fight. You know, can he take Gamrot down? Does Gamrot take the initiative and try and take him down? Does he shoot that low single and run him up and start attacking his legs? You know, is that an attack that Sarukian's going to be familiar with defending in an MMA scenario? I mean, is it going to catch him by surprise? Is he doing his research? Does he watch War Room? I mean, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how these guys are going to approach one another. I feel like Gamrot's got more options, so if I'm Sarukian and I'm feeling like there's a broader variety of things coming my direction, potentially. If I'm Gamrot looking at Sarukian and I'm thinking, okay, well, power single shots, I have to definitely watch out for them. And he's, you know, he's quick off the mark. It's going to be difficult to read whether he's level changing or striking. And of course, you know, if it hits the floor, I cannot be lingering around in any positions where he can hit me without having to think about his own defense. Because he'll find himself getting caught with big shots. I feel like both of these guys are, they're kind of defining the future of this division for me right now. You know, you look at these guys, you look at Gregor Gillespie and you know, the other guys that are coming through underneath this new batch of top 15 fighters, they're all absolutely lethal. And I think this fight might be one that we'll be talking about in years to come, because I think they're going to be very, very competitive with one another. And I think both of them might find themselves within striking distance of a title within the next sort of 18 months or so. Maybe a bit longer. Lightweight takes a while to get moving. But still, they're both incredibly good. And I'm excited for this fight. All right. I'll see you next time.